Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Everybody, we miss you all. Hope to see you soon. Have a great time. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Just to say, may all my friends at Bankhall Mission have a maybe quiet but lovely Christmas. I do so miss seeing you all at the meetings, especially the ladies' meeting on a Monday. May God bless you all at this time. I also miss my young friends, my old Sunday school children, miss the cheek they give me, Clarabelle and Mildred especially, and the jellyfish saga. I pray for you very often. Love you, Auntie Julie.
Hello everyone. Miss you all. Hope you have a cool Yule. God bless. Bye.
Happy Christmas, everyone. Hope to see you soon next year, not on Zoom. Happy Christmas from Frankie as well. See you.
Wishing everybody at Bankhall a very happy Christmas and a very blessed new year from Don and Beth Thornton.
Amen to that.
Happy Christmas
to everybody.
And we hope to see you all soon, very soon.
Happy Christmas, everybody at Bankhall. We hope you enjoy your day, however it turns out. God bless you all. We love you.
Happy Christmas. Bye.
Wish everyone at Bankhall a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And hope that Jesus blesses us all and keeps us safe during this time. Yeah. Thank you.
Merry Christmas,
everybody,
from the Murphys. Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers. It's really appreciated. And I just wanted to say, miss you all. And I hope you all have, even if it's a quiet Christmas, a lovely time in reflection. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Hi everyone, just wanted to wish everyone a happy Christmas. May you all just have a blessed time together and see you all next year. Thank you.
Happy Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi everyone, wishing you a Merry Christmas from all of the Scott family, and that includes Barbara Streisand. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Well, let me welcome you to our Christmas morning service. It is a joy for us to be able to gather together, although we are in our family homes, but that we can share in this way, it is a wonderful thing despite the restrictions and the challenges of the times. We're particularly mindful, of course, some of you will have other family members with you today. There may be even some friends that are part of your bubble. Isn't that a new word that we've learned over these past few months? That's part of your bubble and you are sharing together. But we know that there'll be others in the congregation who will be unable to meet with anybody today. And we want to send our regards and prayers to you and to us all as we're able to share in this way and gather as a church community, sharing one with another on the day of all days. We know that our theme over these past Sundays has been hope. And I suppose that's more pronounced now, given everything that is happening. So whatever our position, whatever our situation today, well, let us take hope and let us take heart in Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was the most isolated person ever, for he was on the cross, and he would cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So he was isolated. He was lonely in that sense. But he did all of that so that we can say this morning that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. You see, as we have our Christmas morning service, and as we share together, we've got a baby in a manger. But the Christmas story cannot just be about a baby in a manger. It must have a king on a cross. And that's what we're doing as we share together, rejoicing in the little one that was born, but celebrating the one that gave his life a ransom for you and for me. So this Christmas morning, we celebrate together. We share with one another. We rejoice over God's great goodness and God's great kindness. So we've got a couple of readings today. Our first reading is going to be from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. You will have received an order of service already, so you will be able to follow the reading at home. Stephanie is going to come, and she's going to do that reading for us just now. So if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, it's verses 1 to 7, and Stephanie will read to us. Thank you.
But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you, Stephanie. And later on, Adam is going to read to us from the New Testament. But it's great to get the narrative from the Old Testament that points forward, and then we'll have the New Testament reading, which is the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote and spoke 700 years before, of course, Jesus was born. Well, we're going to continue, and I'm going to lead us as we pray together. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, we do want to thank and praise you that we can gather on this Christmas morning. We come and rejoice with angels of old. Glory to God in the highest. We come with shepherds to wonder. We come with wise men to worship. How the hymn writer caught it so well. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. We do pray that this Christmas day will be all the more special because we, by faith, acknowledge you as our Saviour. You were the one born as a child, but you went to the cross those years later to give your life, to sacrifice your life, to shed your blood, so that we could know our sins forgiven. You were called Jesus because you will save your people from their sin. Lord God, may that be our experience today. We can truly sing, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. We do thank you that we can celebrate this day, and we do pray for one another as we do so. We thank you that some will be able to meet with family members and friends for the first time in a little while. But we would pray for those who are unable to meet with anybody at this point, and we trust that they will know that special comfort and blessing that you alone can give. We pray for those that have suffered loss over this past year, and this can be a challenging time. Lord, come and be that good shepherd. We ask that you would help us in our service this morning, in everything that we sing, everything that we say, and everything that we do. May your name be glorified. May you be exalted as we share in this first Advent. So we look forward to the second Advent, the second coming of King Jesus, when all will see him and all will confess his name. Help us then in our worship this morning, that we may honor you, that your name may be glorified. And we pray that this day, within our homes, within our situations, that we'll be able to take those moments and take that time to bow before our King and worship you. Lord, help us to do so, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday, there'll be no service here. Sunday the 27th, it's a recorded service, and you will find that in the usual place, and the links will be sent out again. Make every effort at 11 o'clock just to settle down, and let's join together as we have that ministry. Ray Trainer, the pastor at Hoylake Evangelical Church, just recently retired, is going to be ministering to us, and we look forward to hearing that, God willing, next Sunday, on Sunday. On the first Sunday of the year, which I think is the third, we will be gathering here. You will get the links and the time to book in. You can vote for me if you want, but you can book in. And we're going to be looking at our motto text, which is Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1, if I can remember, just off the top of my head. So we'll be sharing with that. So just be mindful of that, and we look forward to that occasion. That'll be the first Sunday in January. Okay, I think that's everything that we need to say at this point in time. I'm going to ask Adam if you would like to come forward. Let me do the business here. I think we're pretty well okay, but you know, we'll do. Just don't put anything on it now, it's all very wet. Okay, thank you.
Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you, Adam. I do think it's amazing when you kind of read about Joseph. Joseph is a just man. He's a good man. And he doesn't want to make a big song and dance of what's happened, he seems to think, in Mary's life. And God comes to him and just gives him that awareness and that confidence that what's happening is of God and for his glory. Right, we're going to sing another hymn. Kay will do that, and Jenny will lead us, How Suddenly a Baby Cries.
Thank you.
Well, as we have been joining together over the last couple of Sundays, and here we are on Christmas morning, let me remind you again our theme. It is Hope is Born. And this morning is the culmination of all the other hopes, all the other dreams, all the other aspirations, all the other prophecies, all the other words that have been spoken are now fulfilled on this day of all days, as the King is born at Bethlehem. So here we are gathered on this Christmas morning to celebrate the birth of all births and to bring our little series to its head, to its finality, to its climax, that Christ is born. So hope is born. We're going to look at it in the same way as we did both Moses and Samuel. So the first thing that we're going to say is that it is a day of challenge. The nation of Israel are under the domination of the world power. What's the world power? It is, of course, the Roman Empire. It was a vast influence. They exerted massive control over a remarkable geographical area, not least our own country, has all sorts of influences from Roman times. Not just Britain, but many other parts of the world too. So the nation Israel is under the oppressor. They're not controlling their own destiny. They haven't got a king. They pay their taxes to a foreign government. They did have freedom to follow their religious practice, and there was much leeway granted to them in that. They had their synagogues. They were able to meet together. They had their own laws. Of course, the Roman law would trump anything that happened within the Hebrew nation, but for all of that, they still could follow and practice certain things associated with their religion and could do that with great freedom. There were periodic uprisings among the Jewish people, the Zealots, who wanted to take control. Very quickly, the Roman Empire would quash that, and again, they would be under the oppressor, under the subjugator, as Rome took its control. But it just shows you the aspiring desire to have control, to be free. But if that's the situation politically, spiritually too, it's not brilliant. There's been a 400-year silence between the Old Testament and the point of God speaking when he says that the king is going to be born. 400 years where we don't have a recorded message of what God was saying, what God was speaking. He said all he's got to say is in the Old Testament. Now it's waiting for the Messiah to come. So no prophet, no word, nothing pronounced. And when God does speak, he's ignored by the religious leaders. That's given its best example, I think. Remember the wise men? The wise men come from the east. They're wanting to find this king. The star is in the heavens. And they're following that, and they're hoping to find this new king. They go to Herod, because he should know, because he's the ruler of the area. And, of course, he doesn't know. He calls in the kind of priesthood and the religious leaders, and they say, what's this king business? And they say, yeah, that's right, Micah, our prophet, the one that we respect. He said some stuff about that, and they refer to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, I think it is. And yes, that's the promise, that's that the king is going to be born. You'd almost think, having heard that, they would think, right, okay, we better get, if these wise men have kind of rocked up to go and see the king, maybe we should go and see the king as well. Do they go? No, they don't. They don't go anywhere near the place where Jesus now is. They ignore it. And then when Jesus does begin his ministry, the lion's share of the opposition comes from his own people, from the religious leaders, from the rulers of the day. They're unhappy with the claims of Jesus, and they're unable to see or hear that God is speaking. You see, it's a bit like the day of Moses. day of Moses, they were under an oppressor. They needed a deliverer. It's also a bit like the day of Samuel, a day of, that is spiritually dark, that needs a light, that needs some hope. So it's a challenging day. The second thing is, it's a day of faith. You see, for all of the challenges and all of the darkness and all of the gloom, and it is very gloomy and it's very dark, and Isaiah says something of that in his prophecy. But we have people that are living godly lives, as we did in the days of Moses, as we did in the days of Samuel. And we've just had that Christmas carol or Christmas hymn. It's a fairly new one, but doesn't it contain so resonating themes that are so important? And characters appear in that hymn that we can note now. Elizabeth and Zechariah, don't know if they are in that hymn, but anyway, Elizabeth and Zechariah are the parents of John the Baptist. They're godly people, and they parent the child who's going to be the great prophet who's going to inaugurate the ministry of Messiah. But it goes without saying that the narrative in the Bible holds up this godly couple. There's Mary and Joseph, who also show their sense of faithfulness in the narrative that surrounds them in the Bible. Mary will miraculously conceive of this baby without knowing her husband. She will become pregnant. Society laugh at that today. Indeed, some biblical scholars have had to try, they want to try and explain it away. We stand resolutely this morning on the knowledge that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That is absolutely essential if we're going to really know who this King Jesus is. He is the God-man, fully God and fully man. And that's why he's conceived, among other things, in the way that he is. A remarkable moment. But Mary and Joseph are those that are living at this time, and they are honoured and favoured, but they're also expressing faith in the midst of the day. Anna is a prophetess, widowed for many years, yet faithful in attendance at the temple. She expresses trust in God, and she's given the knowledge to express the message. What is it? Waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. That is waiting for the Messiah. Here is this old woman, Anna. She's been widowed for years and years, and yet she's waiting for Messiah. Finally, Simeon, and he was in him. I don't know if the rest were, but Simeon definitely was there. Simeon is righteous and devout, we're told. God told him that he wouldn't die until he saw Messiah. And accordingly, he gets to hold this baby. And this is what he says. Let me read it. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory or hope to your people Israel. Well, what a great statement that Simeon makes. Holding a scrap of humanity, a little baby, where is the power here? It is because of the one that he's holding. He's holding, as Mary did, the creator of the universe. He's holding the one that says, let the stars be put into space. And this scrap of humanity, it is the God-man. It is Messiah. And Simeon sees. So in the middle of the oppression, and in the middle of the spiritual darkness, there is living faith being expressed. So it's a day of challenge. It's a day of faith. Finally, it's a day of hope and deliverance. The two things that we saw associated with Moses and Samuel are now combined in this one king. Simeon has expressed as much. The angels have made the pronouncement that the name Jesus emphasizes this, his glory, his power, And he himself in his ministry, that is the ministry of Jesus, establishes that this is the case as to who he is. Listen to what Jesus says. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry out loud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Old Testament prophecy that Jesus will take and say, this is about me. So here we are this morning. And of course, it's those very words that that Jesus himself will take and say, today these words have been fulfilled in your presence, as he preaches a sermon in the synagogue. So it's here this morning that King Jesus holds out deliverance from sin. He holds out judgment and spiritual death. But he ensures that we have that eternal hope with being with God in heaven. So we can come today, and I hope we do, expressing sorrow over sin. We repent of that sin and we seek his forgiveness. But now we're in a right relationship with God. Peace has been made and peace has been received. That's what he promised to bring. So may this Christmas morning be a special celebration. King Jesus is the one that we serve, the one who's become our Saviour, and the one who's all that we need. He is our hope and he's become our deliverer. So whatever happens to you on this Christmas morning, you might have had hopes of a better day, of a better celebration in terms of family and friends. That's been constricted and restricted. But my prayer for you and for myself and for us all is that this day of all days is a day of salvation in our hearts, that Christ the King is the one that rules our lives, that we've known what our sin is, we've repented of that sin, and we've sought him as our Saviour. Like shepherds came to see, like wise men came to worship, and like many others in the ministry of Jesus, will come and seek this great King. Come today, for in him there is hope and there is deliverance. May God help you and me. As we come to a conclusion, let me pray. And then we're going to have a final hymn. Let's pray. Lord Jesus in heaven, you are the great King. You are the awesome one. And we worship you. Lord in heaven, we come and we ask that you will enable us today, that we will be a people that will worship and honour you in the course of this day, with all of its delight and maybe its difficulty, but that we will come and praise the King. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So our final hymn is a well-known one, and we love it, I think. Silent Night, Holy Night, and we'll share together in that as we listen and as we're able to sing in our homes. Let's do so. Silent Night, Holy Night.
Round yon
moment I'm going to get us to say the grace together, but it just remains for me to wish you all a very happy Christmas, to trust that you have a good day within your family homes or whatever that experience is, and that you may know God's blessing in your heart today. We look forward to being together, God willing, in the new year, still in our restricted way, so booking will be required. But we're looking forward to the day, and we trust it's not that far away. We've still got to get through the winter and with its own difficulties. But we're looking forward to the day when we can all be rather sitting at home, looking at a television screen, sitting here together, sharing with one another and singing praise to each other. And we look forward to that occasion, that God will keep us in the meantime. So happy Christmas to you all, and may God bless you as we share together in these days. Now let's pray the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.